Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks Podcast on KMBZ.
Cause you're a sky.
Coldplay is your artist of the day. Story here from the New York Daily News, and just wait till I get to the third paragraph. Dr. Anthony Fauci has expressed hints of optimism that one or more COVID-19 vaccines may be available in early 2021. No matter the types of vaccines introduced or whether one or two doses are required to achieve an acceptable level of protection, the transition is fully immunizing the population. Conventional wisdom suggests that the most at-risk populations should be first in line for immunization. Risk-based thinking says otherwise. Risk-based thinking suggests there are three types of risk: health risk, transmission risk, and efficacy risk, all of which are critical to set policies for distributing the vaccine. Health risk is captured by who is most likely to have a poor outcome if infected, including death. This group includes those over the age of 65 and those with underlying health conditions, such as diabetes and obesity.
They've buried the lead here.
Given that close to 40% of the American adult population is clinically obese, allocating vaccines based on this condition would be infeasible. Moreover, many at-risk people have redesigned and reorganized their lives to keep out of the line of fire from infection. Have they? Have more people redesigned their lives to stay out of the risk?
Well, you have.
I have. I've lost 14 pounds.
You have lost 14 pounds. You don't go out.
I do not.
So here's
the only time I ever see anybody outside of my family is when I see you.
Yeah. So sorry.
It's horrible.
Hey, you get to see me too, okay?
Well, I get to see Sam too.
There are multiple articles out in the last couple of days about the obesity epidemic and how it relates to any effective vaccine. Apparently, the obesity problem, and I would say globally, but certainly in the United States, I'm not going to say the vaccine isn't going to work, but there are multiple studies, scientists, articles suggesting it is not going to be as effective for those who are clinically overweight.
So are you saying they shouldn't get it?
And that's what I'm not saying at all. But let me keep reading here. Anyone who is morbidly obese, which is about 100 pounds overweight, they are among the groups at highest risk of becoming severely ill. And 9% of American adults are in that category. 9%.
Okay.
Obesity has long been known to be a significant risk factor for death from cardiovascular disease and cancer. But scientists in the emerging field of immunometabolism are finding obesity also interferes with the body's immune response, which puts obese people at a greater risk of infection from things like influenza and the novel coronavirus. In the case of influenza, obesity has emerged as a factor making it more difficult to vaccinate. And the question is whether that will hold true for COVID. And then it gets into the white blood cell response, what fatty tissue does with that, and why it could not be as effective. Evidence that obese people have a blunted response to common vaccines was first observed in 1985 when obese hospital employees who received the Hep B vaccine showed a significant decline in protection 11 months later that was not observed in healthier employees. For some reason, your body, Scott, when
if you are overweight,
it does not respond as well to vaccines.
Do they know why?
There was a very clinical explanation in that article.
That you and I could not understand. Okay.
I mean, The Independent just posted yesterday, obese people may be told to stay home if a second wave hits.
You know, there were two major doctors who suggested today, and I don't think America's ready for this. I don't think America would accept it. Where they said, and this was on CNN earlier, it's time for a second shutdown. And I don't think America's going to do that.
Have you seen Sturgis?
250,000 people.
Yeah, I mean, really?
250,000 people arrived in Sturgis, South Dakota. And listen, I got nothing against motorcycle riders, but that's a lot of people in a small confined town of 7,000 people. That town went from 7,000 to 257,000 overnight. It's a problem. I think, and I've said this before, I think America's just checked out. And they want their kids in school, and that's fine. I understand. I want my kids in school. Sarah is going back to KU. I know your daughter is going to KU.
Yeah.
What is it, tomorrow?
Tonight.
Tonight, okay. And then she's coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Sarah is in class Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. She has Mondays and Fridays off. The only time she is in class is actually on Tuesday. Wednesday and Thursday is... what's the word I'm looking for here?
Online day.
Online, thank you. And so, and then the rumor, we have nothing to confirm this, is out in DeSoto, they're going A through K, Monday, Tuesday. Wednesday is disinfectant day. And then Thursday, Friday is L through Z. Now, whether that's true or not, Maya says she got an email, so I take her word for it. I have not received that email. So that's a rumor. I want to be very clear.
Who gets the vaccine first?
Older people. My mom. Your mom. Your dad. Then we move to people with diabetes. And then I think we move to the overweight.
Even though the efficacy is likely, it's not going to be what it would be in other patients. There's an associate professor of nutrition at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, who says, will we have a COVID vaccine next year tailored to the obese? He replies, no way. Will it still work in the obese? Our prediction is no. And they know this, Scott, because it didn't work with Hep B, it didn't work with rabies, and it doesn't work as well with tetanus or the flu.
The flu does not work with obese?
Those in the studies they have looked at were, I need to go back and find that article, were twice as likely to get the flu over a certain weight.
The telephone number here is 576-7798.
But you start telling people that we're going to line you up for a vaccine based on your BMI. Wow.
Well, but Dana, I qualify on the BMI as obese. Do I look obese to you?
You do not, but if you're talking morbidly obese, so people who need to lose 100 pounds or more, someone is going to have to decide what is high risk.
What are we
going to
have, death panels?
No, but somebody's going to have to decide what constitutes high risk.
Oh, you're too fat. You don't get the vaccine.
Good luck if you're a care provider having that conversation with your patient.
Are we really going to have that conversation? Okay. Telephone number here is 57677.
Like, I'm stressed out even talking about it.
I'm sorry, Mrs. Johnson, but you're fat. I know we want to save your life, but we're not going to save your life. Really? So who are you going to give it to? The 17-year-old kid? Doesn't wear his mask at school? Come on, man. 576-7798.
Oh, you're going to take me home tonight. Oh, down beside that red firelight. Oh, you're going to let it all hang out. Fat bottom girls, you make the rocking world go round.
The great Freddie Mercury, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, Aaron, what up, man?
Hey, guys.
Hi.
So, when you were talking about the BMI factor for this and people being obese, I said, hey, I'm going to look and see what my BMI is and whatnot, whether I'm obese. I'm 6'6", and I weigh about 300 pounds. I'm a big feller. And so I got on CDC.gov. They got a calculator for this.
Yeah, they do.
And so I should weigh between 160 and 215. So therefore, that makes me morbidly obese. I'm a little pudgy, but I don't think I'm morbidly obese.
Yeah, I've never found the BMI to be reliable at all because it does not take into account muscle mass as well.
Right.
And so here's the problem, Aaron. They're not saying obese people can't have the vaccine. They're saying if they are given the vaccine, it is possible it will be less effective, even far less effective. And so then the question becomes, we've got finite resources. Who gets to decide who jumps to the head of that line?
Kelly had a great point on the text line, though, guys. Here's a group we left out. First responders.
Oh, they're already at the front of the line.
Can I? So something that I think, you know, may come into factor is, a couple of things. One, we're a capitalistic society, so whoever has the money is going to get it. Another thing is that, what about this convalescent plasma? You know, is that going to be able, are they going to be able to do the convalescent plasma and a vaccine? And maybe that'll help people? You know, I kind of wonder how that would play into
sure.
it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's going to be ways to get it to where people are going to be able to take, you know, be treated for this proactively. And, you know, it's just hard to say. And who knows if the vaccines will even work and if it won't be, you know, longer than expected. I mean, it took like 4 years to get the first flu, you know, vaccine out or whatever. So, you know, they're rushing this out pretty quick.
Hey, Ron, okay. Thank you for the call. I'm going to throw one more topic out for discussion.
Okay.
When we talk about who goes to the front of the line, first responders are always at the top of that list, Scott.
They have to be.
They have to be. From the New York Times, who gets a vaccine first? The United States is considering race in coronavirus plans. A federal committee is debating giving early access to groups that face a high risk. They're trying to decide who gets it, when they get it. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and an advisory committee began working on a ranking system for what may be an extended rollout in the United States. Agency officials and the advisors are also considering what has become a contentious option, putting Black and Latino people who have disproportionately fallen victim to COVID-19 ahead of others in the population.
I just got moved to the back of the line. White, middle-aged, slightly overweight.
Tubby, I just did my BMI calculator.
Tubby white guys to the back.
I'm 0.2 BMI away from being obese.
Yeah, it's such a load of crap.
It's dumb. It's
dumb.
Look
at me.
Sam, you were as skinny as a rail.
I know. I'm 0.2 away from being obese. I'm going to go to the gym.
I'm 2 points over being obese. Listen, I could stand to lose a couple pounds. I'm not saying I couldn't.
Black and Latino people have become infected with the virus at 3 times the rate of whites, and they have died nearly twice as frequently. Many of them have jobs that keep them from working at home. They rely on public transportation or lived in cramped quarters that increase their risk of exposure.
Jeremiah in Leavenworth. Hello, Jeremiah.
Hey, guys. Love your show. Best talk show in town.
Oh, and, thank you, man.
So, a couple of things since you switched over to race. Race shouldn't matter. Take the data. Treat the people where it's going to be needed the most. Get them healthy as fast as possible, and then work your way down the line, especially fat-bottom girls. So, anyway, the Sturgis thing is in my view, is going to be like an atom bomb going off by the 1st of October.
Yeah.
And I hope that the contact tracing and the funeral homes and the, you know, when they go contact tracing through, they'll be able to drill down who went, because we need to see that data in the pool of data just from that one singular event. Mm-hmm. And man, that is like taking 10 large, you know, rock concerts and putting them together in one. And it's not just for a few hours.
They're calling it a super spreader event, Jeremiah.
It's for 10 days.
It's going to, if you take the death statistics, let's just say they start contracting it. If even 10% or 20% of that entire group got it, you're talking easily, you know, 500 to 2,500 deaths. And then from there, where does it go?
Well, from there, they take it back home to wherever home exists for them. That's the problem.
The argument for the people of Sturgis was they were coming anyway. They were going to come anyway. It didn't matter. So we might as well just let them come. That was the argument made.
Instead of the mayor saying, we're going to shut the whole town down, which how do you do that? Do you block off the roads?
60% of the people who lived in Sturgis said they did not want it. They didn't want it.
Yeah, but you have all these people show up that just rode on a motorcycle for days to get there and tell them that they can't do what they wanted to do. You're going to have a problem.
Mm-hmm.
A serious one.
You just either let it happen or...
But if you live there, are you not used to that year after year after year?
Of course you are.
And my guess is you, before COVID, you would rent your house out, or you would just say, I'm leaving town.
They have a lot of camps and stuff like that. Yeah. 576-7798. 576-7798. Yeah, you got to take this into account. We're getting a lot of this on the text line. 3 doors down, by the way. So you're telling me you want the black people to be the guinea pigs? And that's not the only one saying that.
That's why it says it has been a contentious discussion within those on the panel. And how would you like to be on that panel trying to figure out how the heck they're going to roll this thing out?
Somebody writes in, if you move blacks and Latinos to the front, they will accuse you of using them as guinea pigs. Great point. Fair point. Matt in Shawnee. Hello, Matt.
Hi, Scott.
Hi.
Hey, Dana.
Hi, go ahead.
I have the unpopular opinion of just getting back to work. Open everything up. And I really don't trust Bill Gates at all. And I don't think I'm the only one who feels like this. And I don't trust that vaccine as far as I can throw it.
Okay. Do you get a flu vaccine, Matt?
No, I don't.
Okay.
I did actually catch the flu in December, and I got over it. I do believe in other vaccines, though. But the flu vaccine I do not get.
Okay.
Do you wear a mask?
I have to in my work.
Good. No
choice. Yeah.
But I think the science is in on masks too. They're not as effective as they tell you they are.
Then why would the science? Then, if I may, because I find you interesting. If the masks are not effective, why would the scientists say that they are? Are they dumb?
Well, at first, Fauci was saying people should not be wearing.
Well, there was a reason for that. Hang on, Matt.
You win.
You have to take him into context. There was a shortage of masks in the country, and Dr. Fauci was making the argument for giving the masks to
the healthcare providers.
Healthcare providers before you and I ran to Home Depot and grabbed them all up.
Well, no, there's actually a video of him. You can see it in his own.
I've watched it.
He said that people should not be wearing masks. Right. Just for people who are sick, actually.
Do you think this is a hoax?
I don't have any evidence to suggest that.
So why not wear a mask when you go out in public?
But I'm, you know, sticking to numbers here, that less than 1% of the people who contract this die from it, and most of those are extremely elderly, like the regular flu. So, you know, it's a tough decision. I'm not trying to be insensitive about it, but we've got to get people back to work. And what are we going to do when they start evicting, like, millions of people who don't have jobs? I'm kind of out of breath right now.
No, you're okay, Matt. I've heard that argument, and I don't agree with it, but it's certainly an argument that we've heard here on the program before. One of the things they're saying about race specifically, and he mentioned housing, Scott.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm quoting here from a WashU Law School professor. It is racial inequality in housing, inequality in employment, inequality in access to health care that have produced all of these underlying issues. That is wrong, and it's that inequity that requires us to prioritize this by race and ethnicity.
Okay. Now, I go back to what the people on the text line are saying, though, Dana. People are going to argue, are you using black people and Latino people as guinea pigs?
Well, they wouldn't have to get the vaccine.
They would not have to.
But if you are in one of those high-risk groups and they offered it first, it would be up to you.
Now, the argument could also be made, are you using first-line responders, front-line responders, as guinea pigs? And I think the answer would be no. Of course would be no.
Studies have been incredibly promising. We've talked to Dr. Hawkinson about that on this show.
Dave in Olathe. Hello, Dave.
Hey, how are we doing today? I love the show.
Thank you.
I know it's my show, so I do my best job. So as far as the effectiveness on obese people, I think that a lot of that is because of the underlying cause of the cause of obesity. A small percentage, you know, I'm not going to say it's real small, but a decent percentage of people are obese due to, you know, thyroid issues, other issues they can't control. Majority of obesity is caused by poor nutrition, which means your body is not getting the proper nutrients it needs from the right foods. You know, usually it's a lot of sugar that causes inflammation and is horrible on your immune system. You're not getting the right vitamins and minerals. So the body is an amazing thing, and if we actually treat our body right, it can do a lot of things that it's not doing just because of the fact our diets are so poor. And also, if you're obese, your body's not getting the oxygen to the different parts of the knees because it's having to work harder to just maintain just living, and it's not actually working on healing itself.
Yeah. You are absolutely correct, Dave. It's a little more complicated than that. I was going to try to get Dr. Tag on here to talk about it. It says a healthy immune system turns inflammation on and off, Scott, as you need it, calling on white blood cells, sending out proteins to fight infection. Vaccines harness that inflammatory response. But blood tests show that obese people and people with related metabolic risk factors, like high blood pressure, elevated blood sugar, experience a state of chronic mild inflammation. That inflammation, if you are obese, turns on and stays on. And chronic inflammation seems to interfere with the immune response to vaccines.
Jim in Sibley, Missouri. Hello, Jim.
Hello there.
Hi.
I'm not necessarily an anti-vaxxer. I did have my first flu shot in December, followed up with the pneumonia shot in February. But Scott, you can have my place in line for the COVID vaccine. I think I'll wait around a while and see if it might develop into a World War Z situation. And if people will be coming across the river, or I just don't know. But I'm a cautious user of the vaccines.
You're not in favor of getting it when it comes out?
I'm interested, but I'll wait a while. And I'm in the 60s, so I'm in kind of the higher risk category, age wise, but not, you know, existing health conditions.
Okay, I will take your spot in line if you don't mind.
Okay, you can have it.
All right, be well, my friend. Al in Mission. Hello, Al.
Yeah, I got a little bit of medical background, and I've been watching this series from this virologist named Dr. Antonelli, who started a 24 series just on viruses right before the COVID hit. And the people who are comparing the polio vaccine to the COVID vaccine, those are two different kind of viruses. COVID virus.
Let me interrupt for just a second. Who's the doctor that you cited?
Dr. Vincent Rantanelli from Columbia University in New York.
Dr. Vincent
Rantanelli.
Does that start with an R?
Yes.
Okay.
And he was he started out with how viruses start and how they get the shell around them. And they can't hurt you till they attack the cell, and then they rob all the energy and all the proteins from it. And then they start, and then the DNA, it comes in with the RNA, and it gets into the cell and forms a helix with DNA in the cell. And so these vaccinations coming out, one of the reasons, he said, that they've advanced so quickly on this virus, on this vaccination, is because they know more about viruses now than they did when the polio virus came out.
Well, and I always want to ask people, Al, who, and thank you for the call. I always want to ask people who are against this. Don't you believe when the global experiment that was the polio vaccine, don't you believe back then people were saying, wait, you want to put what in my kid?
Right.
You want to do what with a live virus?
He seems to be of incredible rapport. It's Vincent Rantanelli. Graduated from Cornell, Mount Sinai Medical Center, MIT, postdoctoral. He's smart.
Well, so is Ted Kaczynski.
I understand.
I don't know who this is, and so I'm not willing to give. The benefit of the doubt until I read more about it. But
I'm reading up on him right now. He doesn't have a lot of no controversy. He's not like, you know, I think we get blood from aliens. And this guy seems to know his stuff. 576-7798. Danny Wright, Sam Stevie III. I'm Scott Parks on KMBZ.
This speech is my recital. I think it's very vital to rock
around.
That's right.
On top.
It's tricky. It's tricky. Here we go. It's tricky to rock around. To rock around. That's right. On time. It's tricky. It's tricky.
Tricky.
Tricky. Tricky. It's tricky to rock
around. You know,
we'll probably get to this. Around. That's right. On time.
Because it deserves more discussion than just the 5 minutes we have left. Paul Caldwell, a Shawnee Mission principal who is under investigation for harassment and creating a toxic culture at the district's alternative school, has been moved to a new position for the start of this upcoming semester. Mr. Caldwell has been placed on modified duty for the duration of the investigation. And today, district spokesman David Smith confirmed that Caldwell will not transfer to Shawnee Mission West as officials had originally planned. Instead,
yeah, I'm sure the parents at Shawnee Mission West love that idea.
Caldwell will assist with organizing the remote learning program for students who have opted out of returning to in-person classes due to COVID-19. Caldwell, who served as the principal of Shawnee Mission Horizons High School, right here on the corner of Johnson Drive and Lamar, for 5 years, was the subject of a star story in June in which current and former students and employees accused him of making racist and sexist remarks, intimidation, sexual harassment, and bullying. In one incident, a transgender student said he became suicidal because of Caldwell's mistreatment. Employees came forward earlier this year about Caldwell's alleged behavior, filing complaints with the Human Resources Department and emailing dozens of grievances to the school board. One claim of sexual harassment was deemed substantiated and a violation of district policy. After an HR investigation, Caldwell announced in March he would transfer to Shawnee Mission West to serve as an associate principal. But because of the Star's report, the school board in late June agreed to appoint an independent investigator, and he is now going to work off-site. All right. Obviously, we will get to that in a little bit.
You know, real quick, we got to go back for a second, because I had forgotten in 1954... You like my mom and your mom have that little mark on their arm, Scott.
The polio vaccine.
Yeah, because it was like a bunch of little needles, right? It went.
It was like four dots.
Yeah, yeah. No, it was more than that.
Okay.
Did you know that in 1954, frantic American parents looking for anything that could beat back the horror of polio offered up more than 1.8 million of their children to serve as guinea pigs? They included 600,000 kids who would be injected with either a new polio vaccine or a placebo. They actually had to sign a piece of paper that said, "I authorize my child to be part of this experiment," because that's what it was. It would never happen today. Clearly, it would never happen today.
It's happening right now.
No, it is not.
Yes, it is.
Now we have adults who have volunteered
to be part of this study. Yeah, I see what you're saying.
In 1954, Americans served up their children on a platter and said, "Do it," because polio was so devastating, and they didn't want their kids to get it. And you think back then, you know, before the internet, you would still have, you know, neighborhood gossip.
Oh, sure.
Would you have been one of the ones to say, "We don't know who this Salk is. They say he knows what he's doing"? Would you be one of the ones to put your child, roll that sleeve up, and let's see if this works?
No.
I don't think I would have either. It says a nationwide trial of an experimental vaccine using school children as guinea pigs would be unthinkable in the United States today, but that is exactly what happened in 1954.
And look what happened to polio. It's been eradicated.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It worked. But they didn't know that when they handed their kids over.
And some of them probably got it. Those who got the placebo probably got it. How do you determine if you're a scientist?
They did a double blind. There was, and here's why it had to be double blind. They didn't want children in wealthier, you know, we were just talking about social disparity, economic disparity.
Right.
They didn't want the kids in the wealthier neighborhoods to be the ones getting the actual vaccine. So it had to have been a double blind where nobody knew.
What does that
the
mean?
People giving the vaccine don't know. You don't know. Nobody knows.
And it worked.
And it worked. But would you have done it? And I don't. I think
probably
my answer
not.
Would be no.
My answer would be probably no. That depends on how they behaved last night.
Oh my gosh. Are you kidding me? You can take these two, but not these two.
You better not act up. I'll give you the COVID.
Maya, you didn't make that bed the way I thought you should have. Why don't we head on down to Shawnee Mission?
The kids in the trials became known as the polio pioneers, and each received what would become a much-treasured polio pioneer medal pin and certificate of membership. And look at all those smiling faces.
Mm-hmm.
Those kids showing their little scar. My mom had one. I remember it right here. Right on her arm.
Huh. Something's happening at the White House, guys. Yep, you're right. The White House is on lockdown. Trump has abruptly ended his coronavirus briefing. Sam, can we see if ABC's got something on that? I would imagine somebody jumped the fence. Oh, look at them moving through the woods.
Yeah, they know what they're doing. They will take you out if you jump that fence.
Man, how dumb do you have to be?
You out.
Yep, the White House is on lockdown. The president was holding a coronavirus briefing, and it was ended abruptly. As they move the president, obviously, to secure quarters. A lot of people were saying that the arm scar is actually from smallpox, not polio.
Oh, was that smallpox?
Yeah,
that's the one I remember my mom had.
576-7798. The news is next here on KMBZ.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.